Let's get started. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about the mitzvah of challah. Many of my mekomos for tonight's shir is coming from the Sefer Dor Malachim. He collects a lot of different and good my mekomos with the mitzvah of challah. So let's get started. So first of all, how many mitzvahs are there when it comes to the mitzvah of challah? So there's machlokes in the Rambam. In the Ramban, whether there's one mitzvah or two mitzvahs when it comes to challah. According to the Rambam, there's only one mitzvah. Both the hafrasha and the sinah to the kohen are enumerated as according to one mitzvah. Both the separating the challah and the giving it to the kohen, that's one mitzvah. The Ramban argues and thinks that there's two separate mitzvahs when it comes to challah. There's a mitzvah for the hafrasha itself, separating the challah, and then there's a separate mitzvah to give it to the kohen. Now, what's the din of challah bizman hazeh? So the Gemara Maseches Ksubis on Daf Chaf Hey teaches that the mitzvah of challah nowadays is only a mitzvah derabanan. The mitzvah of challah is only a mitzvah daraisa when the majority of the Jewish people, when the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael. And as the Ritva there explains, that's when the majority of Klal Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael. So since nowadays the majority of the Jewish people are not living in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of challah is only a rabbinic mitzvah, is not a Torah mitzvah as we currently speak. Now, we are still in Chiv to take challah nowadays, even though it's only rabbinic, and the Chiv applies in both Eretz Yisrael and it applies in Chutz La'aretz, even though the mitzvah is really fundamentally a mitzvah of mitzvah tli baretz. Now, the question the post can discuss is, let's say a person bakes challah in Eretz Yisrael on the condition to take it outside of Chutz La'aretz. So is that considered to be challah in Israel, or is that considered to be Chutz La'aretz challah? Meaning, right, you bake your challah in Israel, but they're baking, like, let's say you have a matzah factor in Israel that they're intending to take that matzah and they're going to ship it out immediately to America, and that matzah is not staying in Israel at all. It's, once they finish the baking, they're going to ship it straight out to Chutz La'aretz. So is that considered to be Chalas Chutz La'aretz because they're baking it for the intent of giving it to Chutz La'aretz? Or do you consider that to be the Chalas of Eretz Yisrael since the actual baking occurs in Eretz Yisrael? So this is a machloikis within the Bach in the Shom Zaman Arbach. So Shom Zaman Arbach held, and no, we go based off the intent, when the baking occurs. If the baking occurs in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't make a difference, even though you intend that the challah should be taken outside of Israel. If the challah is baked in Israel, then it's considered to be challah of Eretz Yisrael, in which case it's going to be chayiv in challah on the Torah level. The Bach argues, according to the Bach, no, it goes based off your intent. So if a person intends to take the challah outside of Israel, it's seemingly based off a duke in the Bach, right? It seems that if a person intends to bake challah in Eretz Yisrael, but they don't intend to eat in Eretz Yisrael, they intended to immediately ship it off to America, let's say, then it's not going to be obligated in challah on the Torah level because it's not really considered to be challah of Eretz Yisrael.
You just said that challah nowadays is
all derabanan
anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm saying bezman abayis. Yeah, no. There's more room to be made. Chas Chutzlaretz, for example, maybe we could discuss, like, the Chasam Sofer has a famous tshuva about. Right. So normally, we'll discuss this later. Right. The minhag nowadays is to burn challah, but can a kohen eat the challah? Can you give the challah to a kohen nowadays? So we paskin, the Ramah paskin is you can give it to a kohen underneath the age of 9 because there's no concern of carry. So the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva about a case that on Erev Pesach, they forgot that they weren't mafish challah. Erev Pesach challah is b'Shabbos, and they didn't separate the challah on Friday. And the problem is, so normally, the post can bring down from the Knesset Yechezkel that if a person forgets to separate challah, okay, let's deal with the following case, right? Let's say a person bakes challah, and then they forget to separate the challah on Friday afternoon. Then they remember in the middle of the Shabbos meal that they forgot to separate challah from the challah. So what should they do? So the posting quote from Knesset Yechezkel, what you can do is that you can keep a piece of dough and save it for after Shabbos, and then you can be mafresh it after Shabbos. You can take the challah even afterwards. But the Chasam Sofer dealt with the case, but the problem was that Friday, Motzei Shabbos is the first night of Pesach, and they wanted to separate challah from the Chametz challah, but you couldn't leave it over to Motzei Shabbos, because Motzei Shabbos is never going to be Pesach, so what should they do? So Chasam Sofer said in that case, so what they can do is that they can find a kohen who's underneath the age of 9, and there's no concern that he saw carry, so you can give him the challah to eat, and because it's challah schutzlaitz.
Just the act of the Rosh Hashanah Zaman in Shabbos Kalkasa said
why do we call our bread nowadays, why do we call it challah? So he says it's to remind you on Erev Shabbos, so that you don't forget to remove challah from it, and that you don't have any problems on Shabbos. So we call it challah, this way it'll remind you and you'll remember to remove
The buchacha, so yeah, it's from the buchacha. Yeah, the makkah for that is from the buchacha. Yeah, because no, it's machlekes that the Torah and some Rish Samech and the Shulchan Aruch, they're passing that. They're at the Mishnah, we say in Bama Malikin every Friday night that there's three things a person is supposed to remind his family. He locked them, he sat them, did you make an Erev? Did you light candles and did you take Meiser? So the question is, why is it that so many people aren't so makbid about this halacha of reminding one's family to light the Chana, to light the Shabbos candles? So they like the quote. Where you mafrich challah. So they like the quote from the buchach that since we call our challah now this challah, so in a certain sense it reminds a person to separate challah from that. Like that's sufficient. Okay, very good. Okay, good. So when it comes to the amount that a person's supposed to be married, so when a person's supposed to separate challah, so how much challah needs to be separated to become this din? So the Truma Sedashon is a tshuva about this. So he says that the minhag is to separate kezayis, and this is paskim halacha in the Ramah. The Ramah quotes this, the Beis Yosef brings this in the poskim, assume that ideally a person should try to separate kezayis for the mitzvah of challah. Now the Chazon Ish and Chaim Kanievsky, they both point out that in Ikar Adin, technically speaking, the mitzvah of challah you fulfill of any amount. But the minhag is a person should try to separate a alv size to fulfill this Truma Sedashon, but technically speaking, you'd fulfill the amount. You'd fulfill the mitzvah of any amount. So the question becomes: so let's say we're dealing with the following case. So the postman discussed the following case. So let's say you can't dispose of right. So there's also another halacha the Ramah brings that the minhag is to burn the challah. Now let's say you're not able to burn the challah for whatever reason. I don't know. You don't have access to the fire or whatever. So can you throw the challah in the trash? Or can you put the challah in the trash can? So is that permissible or not permissible? So the reason why it'd be a problem is because the challah is a mitzvah. So it's like disgraceful that you're like putting the challah aside from the fact you're not fulfilling the minhag of actually burning the challah. But in some sense, it's disgraceful to the challah that you're putting in the trash. So in such a situation, there's a big dispute in posting where you can throw in the trash at all. But the Minchas Gitzlok says that if a person has no access to fire, so then what you should do is you should separate challah, but you separate a very small amount and then put in the trash. So he thinks that better to not follow the minhag of separating kezayis in that case, better follow, try to separate less in order not to disgrace the challah, even if it means separating less than the kezayis. So that was the opinion of Minchas Yitzchak of her post Agir. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach felt that, well, you know, I don't know if this is currently true, but in Israel, at least at that time, they used to burn the trash, right? So he said that, okay, so that could be the kiyum, right? There's the minhag is to burn the challah. So what difference does it make if you put it in your trash can and then it gets burnt when they burn it at the garbage dump or you burn it in your oven? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach felt that maybe perhaps a person can fulfill the minhag of burning challah when they throw it in the trash and then the trash collectors come and whenever they get around to burning it, maybe that's okay to fulfill the minhag of burning the challah. But that being said, the post can bring down that really ideally a person shouldn't try to throw in the trash when there's a need to. So a bunch of poskim, Mekel, the Mari Steif, he's a big Hungarian postik, he was Mekel. And the Sternbach was Mekel, he said to wrap it in aluminum foil a couple of times if you need to throw in the trash. But definitely best to avoid, if possible, it's best to try to fulfill the minhag of trying to burn it. Good? Okay. Let's go on. So, now, if a person wants to fill the minhag of burning the challah, so where is an appropriate place to burn the challah? Meaning, can a person burn the challah at the same time that they're baking other challah? So what would be the potential, or can they burn the challah in the oven? So what's the potential problem here? So
I was told that you're supposed to wrap it.
Yeah, so let's discuss the potential issue. Let's discuss the whole issue here. So the problem is that the challah, the part that you separate that you're going to burn, is something that's aser. Meaning you're separating the challah because it's something that's aser, so therefore it's in some certain sense not kosher. So you have an usher food that's going to, it's like the same thing of potentially it's a poskim compared to a case of a person who takes, let's say, not kosher food and you cook in the oven. So that's going to be a potential problem because you're going to get the zeya, you're going to get the non-kosher flavors in the flavors in the oven, so or in the microwave, whatever. So is that a problem? So let's discuss the different opinions about this. So the Mishnah Halacha, so Menashe Klein said that it's not prohibited. So he thought it was fine. He didn't think it was a problem to burn the challah in the oven, and he thinks that the oven is not prohibited as a result. Though there are many of those who are machmir, the Shiva Levi's machmir, the Kone Bosim is machmir, and many of the contemporary posts can recommend that if a person wants to burn the challah in their oven, they shouldn't. They at least should wrap it, because that way the challah is not going to be touching the oven racks or whatever, and potentially prohibiting them.
So that, theoretically, if someone is making matzah and erev Pesach and they wanted to burn their challah with their chametz, they wouldn't need a wrap it then. Or because the chametz is already outside anyway, so now they're not being matzah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's up to kasher. Meaning, a lot of posts can assume if Yashiv dealt the final case. So let's say a person messes up. Let's say a person messes up and burns their challah straight in the oven. What should they do? So do they have to kasher the oven? So Yashiv held that really in that case, what a person can do, it says halacha that person can do she'ela on your hafashas challah, meaning that person's able, you're allowed to, able to undo your hafashas challah if need be. So the Yashiv said in that case, what a person should do is they should retroactively undo their previous hafashas challah. That would retroactively undo your kasher, the chafing up of the oven. That was the opinion of Rav Yashiv. He said definitely he wasn't. He felt that ideally a person should definitely not burn their challah in the oven. Definitely not something that's ideal.
Is this only because nowadays there are banan, or is this even in the times of inflation is it that there is that?
No, I mean, so like, but it's a deraisa, so then we're going, then it's going to be, then it's definitely going to be more machber than as opposed to if it's an issa derabanan. Yeah.
No, I'm saying if it's not also
the
ad temple, like, it doesn't really make a difference.
No, but the maisa has a status of being an issa derabanan, so it should be, it's definitely a problem. Even if it's an issa derabanan, I'm saying, let's say someone puts an issa derabanan in the oven, right? So even if you stuff the kasher the oven from rabbinic level, it's still only a problem. I mean, it's still going to be an issue. Good? Okay, so no, the question of the posting to discuss whether the aluminum, like let's say put aluminum foil, is that considered to be is that good enough to like, not everyone's even on board if the aluminum foil, Yashiv was not a fan, Avni Yashpa was not a fan of the aluminum foil, they felt that was not good enough, that person shouldn't rely on that, but there are plenty of mekilim, the Sefer Chalak Hilchsa, no, he's making the said the Kone Bosem is Mekel, the Leket Omer is Mekel, so there are a bunch of posts who are Mekel that if a person puts the challah in the oven, but make sure that they wrap the challah in the aluminum foil and they don't burn it directly in the oven, then that's okay and it doesn't chafe up the oven. Though again, that's subject to much dispute in poskim. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, so next question. So does a person need to separate the challah immediately, or can you do it like whenever you feel like? So the mechaber, and this is how the Chochmas Adam Paskin, that if a person is separating challah and chutzlaret, so you can separate the challah, meaning you don't have to separate the challah immediately, you can separate the challah later. But others disagree. The Shulchan Aruch Rav and Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Zalman Arbach, they felt that really ideally a person should separate the challah immediately. They shouldn't wait a couple hours or whatever before separating the challah. Meaning a person should separate the challah before they eat. And they think that it's best not to rely on the kula of the Shulchan Aruch that permits a person to separate the challah before to eat separate before separating the challah. Yeah, it saves time. Yeah. Good. Yeah, so, yeah, good. Yeah.
I've been eating it all these years, so it better be okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work. That's
not really fast. All right, so. Right, yeah, there's different pins with save cell. I don't want to get into that, no, because save cell is a whole complicated... Yeah, I'm not getting into that. There's too many opinions in Poskim about the,
2 pounds, 11 ounces.
There's a lot of different opinions in Poskim about how much to, I'm not getting into it. Okay, now just to point out, so let's say a person, separates challah after they eat it, so can you make a bracha on that separation of challah? So Shom Zav Nabach held no. He felt that you don't make a bracha in that case. Because we felt that the it's like making a bracha on a something that you, meaning there's no mice at that point. It's like a davish belief. So Rishon Zav Nabach held that you don't make a bracha on that point. Though it seems that almost every other posuk disagrees with him. The Beis Meir or Aruch HaShulchan, they assume that even if a person doesn't take challah at the meaning if a person separates challah later, that you could still make a bracha on it, and that's not going to be a problem. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so let's just discuss quickly whether gluten-free, now they make gluten-free wheat or whatever, so is that chayv and chala? So this is subject to a big dispute. So the Avnei Yashpa, big time of Rav Yashiv, so he held that gluten-free chala is not chayv and chala. Because, well, he thought, I mean, this is connected to a bigger machlokas, whether gluten-free, what's the status of gluten-free in halacha to begin with? So he felt that anything that doesn't have gluten in it is not going to be chayv and challah, because bread essentially comes from gluten, so if there's no gluten, then it's not really considered to be bread. And if you don't have to be, you don't have to separate challah from gluten-free bread. That was the opinion of the Avnei Yashpa, though Rav Nevensahl disagreed. Rav Nevensahl held that gluten-free bread is certainly chayv and challah. And the Mishnah Yosef of Yosef Lieberman is a big Bnei Brak posek. So he says...
He was nifted today.
This morning, yeah. Oi. Okay. Zechet Sadek Ebracha, Baruch Lein Emes. Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, so Yosef Lieberman, unfortunately, was nifted today. So he paskins that a person should separate challah, but you shouldn't make a bracha on it. You should do it without a bracha. So that was his psak. Okay, so maybe let's just discuss some other inyanim related to the bracha and challah. Since once you mentioned the bracha, let's just discuss some other issues related to the bracha and challah. So first of all, there's a big dispute in Poskim. When it comes to the bracha and challah, does it have to be said standing or can it be said sitting? So generally there's a rule that we try to make brichas and mitzvos standing. We learn out, it's a little unclear, it's from Psikta, it's a little unclear what the source for this is, but there's a drasha, at least learned by Sirius Omer, by Lechem, that any mitzvah that says Lechem, that a person ideally should do standing. So the question is, what's exactly included in that? So many posts assume they're really ideal when it comes to all mitzvahs, that a person should try to make the bracha when they are standing. So what about when it comes to Afashas Chalas? Does a person have to stand when they separate Chalas? So the Magen Avraham brings down in the Hilchos Tzitzis and Simchas, that person can sit when they make the bracha on Hafrashas Challah. And the question is, where does Magen Avraham get this from? So Magen Avraham seems to explain that the reason for this is because the bracha of Challah is similar to the bracha of Shechita, meaning that, as many of the posts can explain, right, the Taz and others, that the bracha of Shechita is not like a classic Birchas Mitzvah, because there's no real chiyuv to do Shechita. The bracha is on the result of the shechita, it's on the chalos of the shechita. So too, when it comes to the mitzvah of challah, the bracha is not necessarily per se going on the action of separating challah. It's also going on the fact that there's a piece of dough, or the result of chala being separated. So therefore, we can be a little bit more lenient about the bracha on the mitzvah, and the person be able to say the bracha even when they're sitting. They don't have to make the bracha when they're standing. So that seems to be what the Magen Avraham says. The a lot of poskim argue more here, the Yaivit, so he disagrees with the Magen Avraham. He thinks no, the reason why a person can be lenient to sit and making the bracha and challah is simply because the mitzvah performs sitting, and whenever the mitzvah is performed sitting, so you're allowed to make the bracha sitting. And proof for this, main post can point out that when it comes to matzah, for example, they'll say this, we don't find that people make the bracha chamotzi standing and sitting, and then when it comes to the bracha of matzah, alafios matzah, they stand for it. What's the reason for that? Because once a person's sitting to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah maror, so too you can make the brachas of eating matzah and eating maror also in a sitting position. So too, says Morixia, when it comes to the mitzvah of challah, a person can make the brachas on separating challah, or the bracha on separating challah even when sitting, because they're doing the mitzvah when they're sitting. Well, just, it's worth mentioning that the Aruch HaShulchan completely disagrees. And the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that ideally a person and a woman should stand when she makes the bracha, she shouldn't sit. And we revert back to the general principle that all, when it comes to all brachos and mitzvahs, it's ideal to say it standing. The Shiros Yaakov agrees, and ish yesh. So, okay, if you're able to stand, why not? But there are plenty. Majority of posts can assume that a person really is allowed to sit when they separate challah. Now, it comes to the nusach of the bracha, it's also a subject of big dispute what the nusach of the bracha is. So the Yaivitz in his Siddur says that the bracha is supposed to be, it's not just Allah Fashas Chala, it's Allah Fashas Chala Mina Isa from the dough. But most Siddurim don't print it like that. Most Siddurim print that the bracha is really supposed to be just Allah Fashas Chala. I think there's other nuschos too about Truma. Am I correct about that? Oh, you're right. No, you're right. You're right. Sorry, I'm not. Yeah, it's not Allah Fashas Chala. You're right. It's a half fish chala. Sorry, you're right. It's a half fish chala. It's not al. Yeah, you know, the question is whether the bracha is a half fish chala in Isa or it's just a half fish chala. There seems to be a bit of a dispute. About that. Okay. Now, when it comes to separating challah, so the post can point out, Rekiva Eger, Chachmas Adam, Shalom Zemar, Bachanav, they point out that a person is supposed to be koreshem to the challah, meaning that a person is supposed to designate the challah as challah. So when a person separates challah from the dough, they should say that this is challah. That they should actually verbalize and say that the piece that they're separating is challah. And the question becomes, so when's the best time to make the bracha? So should a person make the bracha before they even separate the challah, or should a person say the bracha of lahafish challah before they are korei shem on the challah, meaning before they designate the specific piece of dough for challah? So the Btzal Chochma paskins that ideally a person, right, normally we assume when it comes to brichas mitzvahs, a person should make the bracha before they fulfill the maisa mitzvah. So when it comes to a maisa mitzvah of challah, even though there's two components, there's the hafrasha, meaning the separation of it and then giving it to the Kohen, but we don't give it to the Kohen nowadays. So Tzal Chachma says, well, we revert back to the general principle that we make brachas before we do the mitzvah. So before the mitzvah comes, challah is before you separate it. So Tzal Chachma says you should make the bracha, separate the challah, and proclaim it as challah. Now the minhag is definitely not like that. Sheva Levi writes that the minhag is not to do that. The minhag is to separate the challah, and then you make the bracha before your meaning you separate the challah first, and then before you verbalize and designate this piece of challah as challah, at that point, that's the time where a person would make the bracha. That's the opinion of Shirley. That's the minhag, but again, many poskim say you can do. I think that's from Nevin Saul. When should a person make the bracha on challah? So he said you can follow your opinion. Either you can make the bracha before you actually separate the challah, or you can make the bracha after you separate the challah, but before you designated and proclaimed this challah to be challah. Okay, good.
You decide to make another batch of challah? We already made the bracha, and then you're adding more to it.
No, so then that comes into questions of Seiruf Tzal, combining those and...
Yeah.
If you put it, you have to put under one kli. You have to put one kli to be obligated in the challah. The question is, what's considered to be one kli? That's a whole separate complication, which I'm not. I don't really.
A kli is like a blanket or a towel.
Yeah, that's some opinions.
No, it could also be like the fridge. If you put everything in the freezer, could be that that's considered one kli. Even if it wasn't kli in the challah, yeah. But now when you put everything in the freezer.
Yeah, there's different opinions. There's different opinions about everything. There's a lot of different opinions about, say, when it comes to tzeir for just combining those and when you combine those, when you don't combine those. I'm not getting into that now. Okay, maybe let's just discuss quickly whether an oven is considered to, is that considered to be a basket for tzeir sal, meaning right, it's a halacha. When it comes to combining dough, right, you have to, there's a certain shear to be chayiv and chalo, and you're only obligated in chalo when you bake a certain amount. So the question is whether an oven, can you combine enough bakings done in an oven to be obligated in chalo. So this is subject to a big dispute. The Rambam paskins that an oven does not, there is no tzeir when it comes to an oven for chalo. And this is the Psak of the Gra and the Vlad of the Shev de Levi. However, Rav Nissim Kralitz was machmir about this. He said that he felt that that an oven would be considered to be a tzeirif when it comes to challah. And this is also, I think, the opinion of Rishon Zalman Arbach as well, that at least be machmir that it could be that if a person bakes multiple doughs in the same oven, that the oven itself is inherently considered to be one kli, and therefore it's considered to be a case of tzeir sal. That was the opinion of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, at least l'chomer. When it comes to a fridge, this is also subject to a big dispute in poskim. So here in the Dor Malakdim, he quotes a bunch of poskim who think that in a fridge is not a mitzir for challah. So the Debit Chinner of Nevinsal and the Max Eliyahu with the Falk, who is the Rav in Gateshead, and they have a bunch of reasons to explain why when it comes to a refrigerator, it's not considered to be a kli that it's mitzdayer for chalas. So reason number one is that it's not hold. It's not. It's the question is whether refrigerator is mekabel tumah. So it's for disaya. It could be a potential reason why it's not going to mekabel tumah. Others, they point out, it's also they refrigerate, mechubal kari, it's connected to ground, so anything that's connected to ground by definition isn't going to be mekabel tumah, so therefore you can't consider the fridge to be a kli because it's connected to the ground. There's another problem, maybe that it could be, according to the Gra at least, that it has to be touching, meaning the doughs have to be touching, so just the fact that you have it in the fridge isn't good enough. I mean, also it could be that you need kavana. I mean, it could be that you need kavana for different doughs to combine. So, just by the mere fact that you happen to have different doughs in your refrigerator, isn't necessarily going to combine the doughs to be obligated in challah. But there are definitely those who are machmir. Rav Nissim Kralitz and Rav Yashiv said that. What? What did you say? No, so Rav Yashiv said that ideally a fridge is considered to be, he felt that you should be machmir when it comes to refrigerating. That was also the opinion of Nissim Kralitz, that a person should be machmir. I think that was, Chaim Kanievsky was like, sure, there's a lot of different opinions in poskim about it. Just ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but it's definitely subject to a big dispute in poskim whether the fridge is considered to be a tzeir for a challah or not. Okay. Okay, so another discussion, another question that the post can discuss is, let's say a person bakes a large quantity of challah, but they're not baking it for, I mean, there's different variations of this, they're not baking for themselves, but let's say they're not baking it for themselves this week, meaning let's say a person bakes a large batch of challah, and they don't intend to eat it all this week, right? They intend to eat it in coming Shabbos, whatever. So is there a chiyuv, right? Can you make a bracha on separating challah for challah that's not going to be consumed immediately, but it's going to be saved for a long time? So this is definitely a big question the post can deal with. The minog definitely is that women do make. I mean, I think the Sheva Levi, I think they quote in the Sefer Chalak Yochasar, I believe, if I recall, they quote from Sheva Levi that the minog nowadays is that if a woman bakes a large quantity of challah, let's say she bakes challah once a month, right, for an entire month, so the minog is that she would make a bracha even though she is not, even though she's storing the challah for later usage, but since she's intending to use the challah for herself, so that's good enough to warrant. I felt that was good enough to warrant a bracha on the on that. But
yeah, if you make a lot of challahs or cookies or whatever, in order to or challahs, because I think there's a shayla, but they're the challah between mizonos and havoti. But if you make a lot of challahs to give it in shalosh, there's a shayla over there.
Yeah, no. So it gets more complicated. Is let's say a person bakes challah not for themselves. Let's say a person bakes challah for someone else. So is that obligated in challah or not? Where things get complicated is the meaning. Does it when it's a dough it has to be already designated for someone else, or is it actually like once? Meaning, it could be that you actually have to know when you're baking in the dough that this is for someone else. Not, oh, you know, I'm gonna bake 50 challahs and then like I'll keep half of them for myself and half of them are gonna give to my friend. I'm not sure which half I'm keeping for myself and which half I'm giving to my friend. So is that considered, right? Meaning, if you didn't designate which ones are going to your friend at the time of the baking, you're designating it later, whose challah does that belong to at that point? Cause, no. Meaning, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Challah that teaches that if a person, Isal Chalik, right? Meaning, dough that's baked that would be given out to other people is not obligated in challah, right? If a person, but the question that's one comes to dough, but the problem here is a lot of times people bake challah, they finish the baking and then they decide which challah is going to be given out to their friends, so that's much less clear in post-game whether that's obligated in challah or not. Again, it's a big dispute. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi about that case. Let's say a person makes dough which is going to be both used for cookies and for challah, right, for bread. So is that obligated in challah or not? So Shom Zan Abach said no, but Rav Yashiv, I think a lot of the contemporaries from there, they say that ideally in such a case a person should separate challah out of bracha, meaning if a person has a lot of dough, some of it's not going to be used for, they know they're not using it for bread, they're going to be using it for other, it's almost like food, that person should separate challah without a bracha. Am I correct about that?
I'm not sure.
Well, was that Ravolig's opinion?
I don't know, I didn't ask.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean if you're doing it at the same time?
Let's say you make chocolate chip cookies, brownies, and challah. So now you have to separate three separate batches. Now I'm excited. You need to make three separate brachas, one for each one, or one for is good for all three of them?
I just think one would be good for all three. I mean, I don't...
It's three separate mice and mitzvahs, so it's...
No, but I'm saying if you're doing it all in one shot, I'm saying it's not going to be... It's no worse than... No, the question is, I don't know, I'm saying like when it comes to tefillas kalim, right? Meaning, right, if a person has multiple kalim, like you make one bracha.
But there the bracha was made
if a person has different, like, choice of mice. Yeah, but let's say a person has multiple choice of mice to separate. How many brachas do you make on that?
I have no idea.
I assume you'd make one. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.
What about yeast cake?
Yeast cake? What's that? I think that's subject.
Like any other dessert,
why would that be high? Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Okay, I guess any last questions? Okay, I guess we should all try to separate the challah properly and fulfill the mitzvah.